Welcome to Inspired Insights, where we share our conversations with industry experts as we give insight into workforce trends and changes impacting HR and financial professionals. We will cover everything from employee engagement to compliance and regulations impacting your workforce success.
Welcome to the Inspired Insights podcast. I'm your host, Brian Gorman. I'm a sales and marketing professional with 20 years in the HCM industry, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Jeff McEwen.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good to be back with you as always, and thank you for our listeners joining in. Yeah, I'm Jeff, and I've been doing HR management since a long time ago. I gave the date out last time, so if anybody really wants to know, you got to watch and listen to another episode. But it's been a while, and really enjoyed the field and the people I've worked with, and really appreciate doing this with you, Brian, to help keep the HR community up to speed on what's going on, and bring in new exciting guests in.
Well, today we have, for the third time officially, Sarah Ohanesson. Full disclosure, we had Sarah on about a month ago, and myself forgot to hit the record button. So we are human on this podcast, and Sarah is gracious enough to be back on the show. But I wanted to give her a formal introduction. I'm a chief marketing officer turned productivity coach, speaker, and trainer. Sarah Ohanesson built the system, tools, and templates she needed to manage life as a busy chief marketing officer. Now she shares everything she has learned and created. She coaches and trains busy professionals on how to get more done and ultimately get back control of their time. Sarah is on a mission to fight burnout and increase happiness at work. Through her programs, she helps people clarify their thoughts, organize their work, and take meaningful action. Because when you're efficient with what you need to do, you have more time and energy for what you want to do and the people you love. Sarah is the founder of So Productive, an Asana certified partner and co-host of the Heroic Council podcast. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thanks for having me. It's always good to see you both.
I have to say, when he read that you're on a mission to fight burnout, my first thought was of that old, what is a Greek story about the guy that was always pushing the boulder up the hill. So I feel like that's a mission you're never going to accomplish. There'll always be another person to talk to about burnout.
Unfortunately, you know, and that's really why I'm doing this type of work, because this is, I often say this is the epidemic that we had before the pandemic that we all now recognize. And this has been going on for many years, and it's really just increased with the pandemic. So I feel like I'm pushing a boulder up a mountain, but I feel every day that step by step and push by push, it's worth it. Because when I can see a client have a breakthrough and come back on our next session and say, what you did really helped me, and I was able to relax at night without guilt and have time with my family, like, all that hard work is worth it. And it's just one step at a time, one person at a time.
I think you hinted a little bit at it, Sarah, talking about the pandemic and busyness and seeing an increase in that. And obviously we've all seen that, but why has busyness increased? Maybe from your perspective, what have you seen from what you do and maybe stories you have out there? What you've noticed in your world?
Yeah. And there's also starting to get a lot more statistical data behind this, stats, and people are running studies to show that we are actually facing an increase in busyness. We're actually working more hours right now from home. For those of us that are still working from home, more hours are being put in towards work. And also that feeling of busyness, right? We're feeling like we're working all the time. And one of the main reasons for this is when we are working from home, there is not a separation between home and work. So instead of getting in the car and having that transitional period home from the office, which was so common for most of us, now there's no transition at all. The transition might be someone's hungry and telling you they need to eat some dinner soon, but there's really no transition. So because of that, our work is always available to us. And that's also partially because of all the electronic devices that have our work coming at us all the time. So between that physical environment and that lack of separation between home and office, and then also add in, you know, all the technology that's just constantly telling us there's something for you to do. There's something for you to do. You've got a work email. Someone's trying to call you or send you a text, or there's a Slack message. I mean, there's just more coming at us from every angle. And I think during the pandemic, this just collided, and it was a perfect storm, unfortunately, for burnout.
Yeah, we were talking before we started the recording about the fact that I'm now working in an office instead of working from home. And so that's been a nice shift for me as an extrovert getting out of the house. But one of the things I noticed in the literature, you were just mentioning about how much more we're all working. And I've been seeing those reports as well, but also that efficiency, or I shouldn't say efficiency, but productivity is up. And, you know, having worked out of the home for years before that, I wonder, and let me just throw, I guess, my theory out, and then you tell me your thoughts and if you agree or disagree or whatever. But when you were in an office, I think even the most diligent employee still found time where you're in the office, but you're just kind of doing time, right? You know, it's like, I got this thing I got to do, but I got to be here in the office anyway. So why get it done fast, right? Why knock it out quick? I can't leave till 5 anyway. So even if you're not hourly, I think that was still, you know, some of the mindset. When you're at home, then it's kind of like, well, hey, if I can knock this out quick, I can go put another load of laundry in, or I can go mow the yard, or I can go play with the dog or whatever. And so I think that's part of it is I think I felt like you made better use of your time. And then you add in what you just said about, well, since I'm home, I might as well do another thing too. I mean, right? Or since I'm working and I'm here, yeah. or at 7 o'clock at night, hey, I just had a thought about that thing that I didn't get done earlier. Let me just go to this room at the end of the hall. And so I think that's that, to me anyway, is what really has explained both the increase in productivity as well as the busyness. I have a thought.
100%. I mean, the lines are completely blurred. So I don't know about you, but I could never do laundry in my office before previously. And so, you know, that's what's happened. You know, now we're doing laundry in the day. Maybe we're doing some meal prep for dinner during the day. And that is completely blurring the lines. But it's happening the reverse as well. So now 9 o'clock at night, someone asks you to do something from your work. You're going, all right, I guess I could do that. You know, I did take a couple minutes to do laundry earlier today. So there's certainly this give and take. So I don't think it's so much about, you know, what are we doing and tracking hours and how, you know, did you get your 8-9 hours of work in today or did you not? I think what's the real issue at play here is, how is that making us feel? It's making us feel burned out because there's no separation, right? So there's always more laundry to do. There's always more food to cook. There's always more cleaning up to do. And there's always more work to do for your job. And so that blurring of those lines is what's making us having that feeling of, I'm overwhelmed. I'm never going to get it all done because there's just so much to do. And there's no boundaries or parameters around when we're supposed to do those things.
Okay. So you just said boundaries and parameters. What tips do you have for both Brian and myself and the audience? How can we set those, and why is it important that we set them?
It's important, obviously, because without them, what I just mentioned is just at play, right? You're never feeling done. And so there's that little piece of guilt then that is always hanging around. I should be doing this. I should be doing this, right? You should be doing all kinds of things, right? You should probably eat more vegetables. You should probably go for another walk. You should probably lose 10 pounds. You should probably get through all your emails. That list of what we should do just goes on and on and on. So if we don't have parameters around that, we're never going to reach that level of perfectionism and we is going to live with us forever. So what I really recommend to people is putting some of those boundaries in place. A really clear example is having office hours. When are you working? Whether you're working in the office or you're working from home, I am going to be available between 9 and 6. Those are my office hours, right? That's a physical boundary. The other boundary to put in place is, when are you going to be responding to email? That's a really simple one. I'm going to respond to emails until 6 p.m. and then I'm going to set myself a clear boundary that I'm not going to respond after hours. And then if that's something that's appropriate to tell other team members, great. You know, you can put Slack on out of office. There's so many little things that we can do, but the boundaries around, you know, how and when are we going to communicate with people is a really big one. And then the other thing I like to say is have that physical space. So if you're lucky enough to have a room in your house that serves as an office, at the end of the day, shut the door, right? Shut that door. So you're no longer peeking in or seeing that messy desk that might be reminding you of some things to do. If you don't have a physical office, perhaps it's just cleaning up that workspace at the end of the day. And that's a signal to yourself, you know, when I've put my papers away and I've closed my laptop for the day, when that space is cleaned, I'm going to be done for the day and I'm not going to go back to it. So give yourself some of those physical boundaries, but also signals as well.
I love the idea about office hours. I think that's just fascinating and it makes complete sense. I mean, how many times did our professors in college have office hours, right? When you want to go see them for questions and extra time. So yeah, I think that's a great idea, actually. Well, and I also had a thought too, and I've seen people do this where they would actually leave in the morning, drive around the block, you know, and go back to their house, get into their office. And it's almost like they left for work, right? And then when the day is over, they would drive around the block and come back, and that's the end of the day. So, I mean, I've heard a few people do that, which is fascinating too. But what do we know what's urgent versus what's important? How do we set our priorities to make sure we are taking care of what's important and strategizing that way?
That's a really, really good question, Brian, because it's very hard to know the difference between what's urgent and important. Everything feels like it's both all the time. Everything feels urgent. We have these tight deadlines. We have people coming at us, interrupting us, saying that they need something. So these lines between what's urgent and what's important is really, really blurred. So urgent means that this is something that someone is coming at you with this problem or this thing that they need help with in a fire fashion, right? Like it's on fire. They need it now. They want it now. They can't wait, right? It's very, very urgent. They need it in that moment. That is very different than what's important. What's important is part of a much larger conversation here. What are the strategic priorities of our company? What are the goals of our team? What are my personal goals for my career development, for my personal life? Anything that aligns with those things, that's important. Right? Those are the things that are going to move the needle for your career, for your business, for your clients, for your personal life. Those are the things that really matter. So this conversation of urgent and important, it's very blurred, right? Because it's so easy when someone comes to you and says, I need this right now. And that feels urgent. And you have this actually, you know, physically, like the hormone shift in your body and you're going, okay, you need me. I'm great. I'm there. I'm so happy to help you, right? That's our initial reaction. But that constant pull of what's urgent is really what's pulling us away from what is important. So I meet with so many people who say, I can't get anything done. I can't get anything done. I have all these goals and priorities and I can't get them done. Well, we can't get them done because we're allowing those things that feel urgent, those things that are being asked of us, those things that are tugging for us to get in the way of what's truly important. So it's a really, you got to know what is important, right? So again, you might not know that today. You might be listening to this podcast, go, oh no, I have no idea what my larger goals are, what some of these priorities are. So I really encourage people, do some of that work and think about, start small this week. What's important this week? You know, a lot of people will push back on me and say, I'm not trying to, you know, cure world hunger or find a cure for cancer. I said, it doesn't have to be that, right? It doesn't have to be this big, big, grandiose world-saving problem. Something important is important to you, right? What's important to you this week? Start at that level. And then that's really going to help guide you as you're making decisions on, okay, this urgent thing came in, but I'm so clear on what's important to me, those things I need to get done this week.
Yeah. I love the old image that somebody suggested and planted in my head about a phone. A phone is always urgent because if you don't answer it and somebody rings, it's going to stop. But what you don't know until you answer is whether it's important. All right. Is it a spam, you know, call? Is it a robocall, or is it, you know, your kid or your spouse is injured or whatever? So that's a image I always had about something that is always urgent, but may not be very important.
A great example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the thing that people don't understand about it is, you know, we're letting these things drive our actions all day long. And so it's really just about being able to judge one thing versus the other, right? I had this important thing, this urgent thing came in. At that moment, you have a decision to make. Are you choosing to go left or to go right? You know? And so I love helping people be firm on what's important because it makes those decisions that inevitably pop up. Those fires are not going away, right? They're going to pop up all day long. But the mission here is to be able to figure out, okay, am I letting that interrupt my day? Is that worth it? Or no, I'm gonna stand firm and hold on to what's important here.
Another exercise that I've done in the past, I think at a workshop somewhere, maybe they had us do this, and maybe you've done something similar you can speak to, but was they asked us to, and we didn't do it in the workshop, but they gave us the instructions. But over the next day, I think we did it over like 24 hours, just either make a note as it happens or every now and then stop and think back over the last few hours. But just keep a log of what you've done. It literally, you know, answered a phone, answered an email, looked at a text, read a news story, watched a program, did a project for work, try to be pretty granular. And then they gave us a chart, a four quadrant chart, and you had urgency on one axis and importance on the other. And so you had, you know, obviously everybody can visualize that, and you had things that were low important, high urgent, so forth, and then plot out what you actually did. And it was amazing how much of what you did was low importance, high urgency. And actually it was also kind of sad how much was low urgency and low importance, right? Playing
it's
Wordle.
True.
Stuff like that, right? So it's amazing that, you know, you look at that and at the end of the day, you're like, holy cow, I hardly did anything that was important and none of it was urgent important.
Exactly. I have clients do an audit very similar to what you're describing, and it is shocking. You know, we're actually having an event coming up soon next month, and it's about productivity in your closet, right? And I know that sounds a little bit funny, but things like getting dressed in the morning, right? We tend to underestimate how long it takes us to get dressed in the morning, how long it takes to make lunches for the kids to go to school, right? How long getting everybody in your household ready in the morning, how long is that actually taking you? So to your point, doing an audit of how much time these things are actually taking is really strategic. It's very interesting to see those things because you tend to underestimate some of those things that are kind of fun or time with family, time with friends. You really underestimate that. And then you're overestimating how much time you're spending on those key priorities, on that time with a critical client. You're really, I'm not saying you're lying, but I'm saying it's really hard to estimate those things accurately. And luckily, there's some great tools out there. I use Harvest almost every day. It's a time tracking tool. The free version is great. There is a paid version as well. But just to keep track, and I'm not doing it because I'm reporting it to someone or I need it for any other reason, except it keeps me aligned. It keeps me on track. Mm-hmm. So I have a real gauge at the end of the day. I spent this much time on XYZ. I spent this much time with certain clients. And then at the end of the week, the end of the month, I had this real accurate data for how I spent my time. And again, it just helps me make better decisions. And it helps me really know, was I in alignment with my larger goals of my business? So that's a great free tool I would recommend to everybody. Just start tracking your time. It seems like a big pain, but it's actually very easy to do.
What are some common pitfalls or blocks or hurdles we can be on the lookout for that stop us from working on things that we know are priorities?
Oh my. Well, one of the things is doing an audit like that is really going to help you understand how are you actually spending your time, right? The other thing, the other audit I really love to do is a distraction audit. What are the things that are distracting you? Because often, again, we're not aware of it. It's happening so naturally. I've got a window and a car drives by and then I start to look at it and then I'm distracted for 15 minutes with what's going on out there. Or I'm allowing my phone to buzz and then I get sucked into social media for a few minutes. So what are those distractions for you? So if you, very similar to what you just mentioned, do an audit, 24 hours, write down everything that distracts you, and you will be shocked at what you come back with. So definitely paying attention to those distractions. And then the other thing is, what are the things that are coming in urgent, right? They're coming in hot, they're on fire. And this takes a little bit of critical thinking here. Are these fires coming from the same person all the time? Are they coming from the same client all the time? Are they really related to the same issue, right? Mm-hmm. So as you're paying attention to these urgent things coming in, these things that are on fire, can you start to notice any patterns there? Because often it is, right? There's something wrong with the process. There's something wrong with a person involved in that process. Or, you know, we got to really think critically about, is this even the right type of client that we should be working with? So often we feel like those fires and those interruptions can't be avoided. But when you start to pay attention to and notice some patterns, I promise you, you'll find something in there. And it might be ugly. It might be something you want to ignore. But often there's something there that even a small tweak can make a big change. So really pay attention to what's distracting you. And then as those distractions and those fires are coming in, what patterns can you start to notice?
Does mindset play a role in all of this as well? Like how to attack your day and how to, obviously being proactive probably helps, but is there like having control over your mind, your thoughts and just the approach, I guess you would take to managing your day. Is mindset important in all this?
Of course it is. It's huge. I actually launched a digital course called Command the Chaos. And I really wrestled with what to call this course. And it's a productivity course. And I thought, you know, I thought about all these different names and things. And I thought, you know what this really comes down to? This really comes down to we're living in chaos. And that's the feeling that we have. We can't get rid of chaos. We can't get rid of all the fires. But what I want to help people to start do is command it, to be in control of it. And that's where, Brian, so much of mindset comes into play there, right? So what I really recommend people do is, and this shift in perspective is really huge. We talked earlier about these feeling busy, feeling like there's so much to do. There's all these things that we should do. Mm-hmm. What I recommend that people do is actually do less. Try to accomplish less. Okay. And I know that's silly coming from me and that sounds really ridiculous, but what happens is we have these huge to-do lists. So we're looking at these things going, I've got 100 things I have to do. I have 100 things that I should do. Picking three priorities to work on today, that will shift your mindset immediately because you're never going to get those 100 things done. I hate to tell you, you can't. There's just not enough time in the day. And so that's what's leaving us feeling very defeated, very frustrated every single day. I can't get through my list. My to-do list is so big. I have so much to do. Well, yeah, nobody can get that much done. But when we break that down, and we have three priorities for the day to focus on, you probably can accomplish those things because they're specific and they're actionable. And that is what's going to leave you feeling successful and fulfilled and feeling like you made an impact on what's important. So that mindset shift of, I'm only trying to accomplish this many things, and then celebrating when you actually do those three things, that completely shifts your mindset for the whole day. And when that happens day after day, now we're commanding the chaos. It's still chaos. It hasn't gone anywhere. We've just shifted our relationship to it and how we feel about it. Permission to do a little bit less. And in return, you're actually going to accomplish more. You're actually going to accomplish more because when you're so focused on those three things, you're actually going to do them.
Yeah, it almost made me, like, my insides kind of like, I'm like, oh man, just try to accomplish less. I mean, I don't know. That's so hard to take in, I guess, because you're trying just to get so much done throughout the day, you know, both in your personal and business lives. It's just, it sounds very counterintuitive, but I'm sure that it does, you know, if you try to accomplish less, you probably do end up accomplishing more.
How many you know? Browsers and tabs do you have open on your computer at the end of the day?
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Too many.
Which monitor?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. And that's really what I'm getting at, right? So you're working on a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit, and not really finishing all of those things. Otherwise, why are those browsers still open? So instead, right, when you have those three things to work on, you will focus on just that one thing until completion. Close the browser, clean it out of your brain, leave space now to work on something else. So that focus on those three things is going to allow you to actually finish those things and be able to move on with an open mind to the next thing.
Now, another tactic I've heard people use is if your tasks don't lend themselves to being completed, if it's not something that, you don't get done, is timers. And using 10-minute, 15-minute timers and saying, all right, this can't be done in even a couple hours, but I could get a good 10 minutes worth of something done. And I guess, I don't know if it lends itself maybe more to physical tasks is what I've seen people talk about. Like, your desk is a pit and you think, all right, it would take an hour for me to clean it. But if I just take 10 minutes and I just, whatever I can get done in 10 minutes, and then over the next several days, I'll do six of those and that's my 60 minutes. And, but otherwise it's just daunting. It's just when you look at the whole thing, you think I'll never get it done and you never do have a full hour to spend on it.
Exactly. So that's a really great point. I recommend having an idealist separate from an action list. And here's what I mean by that. Idealists are those bigger concepts, those things that you're working towards, or those things that are really just ideas. They haven't fully been fleshed out yet. I often see those things overcrowding what I call the action list. So the action list are those smaller bite-sized pieces. And the key here is action, right? You have the tools, the resources, and the skills to actually accomplish them yourself. You can get them completed, right? And I often see this missed. I'll give you a perfect example. Coaching a client this week, and she gives me a city. Her to-do list has a city on it. What is she going to do with that city, right? That is not a to-do item. That is I don't know what you're trying to accomplish there. So I really questioned her. What do you mean? What do you have to do? So we went down four layers, and it turns out her organization is opening a new location in that city. So to her, that city clearly had a meaning. But when she was looking at the name of that city, it was very overwhelming to her. So instead, we broke it down. We really did go down about four layers. And then we identified the next action she needs to take towards that city is, you know, action one. And that, back to a shift in mindset, that changes everything. Because now when I sit down and I only have 15 minutes to work, I know, okay, I've got to get that one action done. That's all I need to get done today, and I'm going to feel good about that. Then move on to action two. But I often see these to-do lists that are very lofty. They're these huge goals, and people are staring at them and going, oh, I don't have time for that. I'm just not going to even get started. And this is why you actually end up accomplishing more. When you break those things down, you're actually going to take those micro steps towards that larger goal. So take those big lists, those big ideas, and break them down to a microscopic level. And I always say it needs to start with an action verb. Read this, do this, write this, review, you know, those things. Because so often I just see these very, very vague to-do list items, and they're confusing you. And if you're leading a team, they're definitely confusing your team.
So clarity is so important.
It's everything. I have a productivity system called COAT, COAT. Guess what the C stands for? Clarity.
Clarify.
Clarity. Yeah, exactly. It's 90% of the equation. And especially if you're leading a team, clarity is everything. We have to be able to explain to ourselves and to our team, one, what is it? What are we actually doing here? And that's the conversation we were just having, physically breaking those things down. But then two, why are we doing it? We touched on this earlier. Why is it important? Why does it matter? Why does this serve a larger purpose? You know, why does this work we're doing matter? Nobody wakes up in the morning going, you know what? I would love to procrastinate today. I'm going to procrastinate all day. But we put things off when we don't know why they matter. So it's much easier to procrastinate when we're looking at this vague to-do list going, I don't think that matters. I'm not sure why I have to do that. But when we have a real mission for why, boy, that's insanely motivating. And that's really motivating for your team as well. So what and why are the real keys to getting clarity. So when something crosses your desk at a, you know, small task level, hey, Sarah, can you do this? Up to a huge project. I always want you to pause and ask what and why first and get real clarity around that.
Well, let's shift gears to some questions we like to ask all of our guests. And as Brian shared, you've already answered these ones before, but we were the only audience. So let's have you share these answers with the broader audience. So the first one is, how did you get into this current role? How did you end up in this position you're in today?
Yeah, so I was a chief marketing officer, and I really did love the company that I worked with. I loved the people that I worked with, but I was realizing that I was working a lot of hours. I was coming home at night, and my husband, who is the person I love most, he was getting the worst part of me. If there was anything left at the end of the day, that was what was there for him. And I just gave and gave all day. And the other thing that really happened to me was I was on top of my game at work. I was answering questions all day, making key decisions. You know, everybody was looking to me for answers. And then I would get home and my husband say, you know, what do you want to do for dinner? I'm like, I don't know. I can't answer one more question today. And that really just I thought there's got to be more to this. I'm starting to face burnout, and I really realized it. And I think the important thing is there, despite having a career that I loved, right? I loved my work. I loved marketing. I loved my company, but I was even still facing burnout. So that's, I think, something to pay attention to when you're facing burnout. It's nothing against what you're doing or who you're doing it for, right? So really pay attention to how you're feeling there. Anyways, fast forward, I thought something needs to change here. So I started creating tools and systems and templates that were working, and they were working for me. I started using them for my team. They were working for my team. And that's when I thought, everybody I'm talking to is feeling the same way. I think this is time now to share this. And so I started my company then called So Productive and started teaching this to other people.
So Sarah, what maybe misconceptions do you think people have maybe about your industry, maybe specifically what you do?
Yeah, I think my industry and also specifically the HR industry, I think people think that we have all the answers. Someone yesterday was calling me a magician, and I thought, oh no. Thank you, but I'm not, you know, and I think here's where the misconception comes in, is that you have to do the work too, right? This isn't a overnight, you know, oh, I'm going to listen to this podcast and my whole life is going to change. We're giving you a lot of great tips and suggestions here, but this is going to take a little while to implement some of these things. And I just believe it's a misconception that one, overnight, you're going to change your productivity, or that one tip or one hack is going to change the game for you. Productivity is a real journey. And this is about getting a little bit better every day. It's very similar to working out, right? You can have a great workout this morning, but it'll last so long. And then you got to kind of keep up with it and work out week after week. And it's really the same with productivity. So I just encourage people that it's not one thing that's going to change everything for you, but it's about finding those things that are actually going to work for you and then implementing it, tweaking it, making a little bit better. And then the other thing is that, you know, specifically with HR you asked about too, I just don't think the HR people have all of the answers, right? And we feel like they're in HR, they must know all the rules and all the answers. And I think just especially in this time we're in, giving people and each other grace, we're all learning and we are all on this journey together. And there's a lot shifting and changing right now. So I just think nobody has all the answers, but allowing ourselves to help each other and to implement what we're learning is really important.
Well, and to piggyback off of that with learning, do you have any books or podcasts that you're really into right now or that you'd recommend to our audience?
Yeah, definitely. So I have a really good book. It's actually behind me. It was written by one of my dear friends, Jeff Gibbard. It's called The Lovable Leader. And it really is. It's about leading from what he coins as the same side of the table as someone. So not leading from I'm in a higher position than you, or I'm sitting across the table and telling you what to do, but really joining someone on the same side of the table and leading with compassion and working together, you know, to grow and to help younger or less experienced members of the team to grow.
You know, we know the two letters HR stand for the words human resources, but if they had to be short for two other words with the same general connotation, what do you think those two letters would be short for?
That's a really good question. I like that one. I would say helpful relationships. I think HR is 100% about relationships. These are humans helping other humans. We're all in this together. And also the role of HR is to really help other people. I have had the wonderful pleasure of speaking to a few different HR groups and organizations, and I have never met a more helpful, compassionate, kind group of people. It's just a fantastic industry. You know, people are just so helpful to one another, and they want each other to succeed. And that's what I'm in my business to do. I want to help other people succeed. And I just think that's a huge thing. So helpful relationships.
Well, if people want to get more information about you or some of these programs or your own podcast, where can they contact you or find you?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking that. So my website is so-productive.com, and I do have many free downloads there, but I want to mention one because we talked a lot about priorities today and that urgent, important conversation came up. So I do have a free download about questions to ask when you're setting your priorities. So that can be found at so-productive.com/priorities.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for coming back. Appreciate that. Great to talk to you again. And thank you to all of our listeners who were with us today and listened or watched our discussion. We hope that you'll be back again as well. If you have any suggested topics or guests for future episodes, or if you would like to be a guest yourself, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at inspiredinsights@truepay.com.
This podcast is powered by TruePay, a single sign-on HCM technology provider supported by a team that strives for your success.